Good morning and happy new year. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, and today is January 1st, 2020. Yay! Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 80, reading and commenting on the first paragraph before taking drastic action. Today's readers are Martha M. on the 12 Steps, Lucy M. on the 12 Traditions, and our readers are Penny L.C., Don B., and Leslie W. Nan K. will stay on the line to greet newcomers after we end the recording, and Leslie W. has some important announcements for you. The reference number for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, which this is also, the reference number for yesterday, December 31st, 2019, was 13902. That's 13902. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. meeting, January 1st, 2020, is 13904. That's 13904. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who shared experience, strength, and hope are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Martha M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning. My name is Martha M. I'm a recovering overeater from Connecticut. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service and Happy New Year.
Thank you very much, Martha M. And I'll now ask Lucy M. to please read the 12 traditions.
I'm Lucy M., a recovering compulsive overeater.
Lucy, we can just barely hear you. I'm wondering if there's a way you might adjust your phone.
Okay, how's that?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm Lucy M., a recovering compulsive overeater from Oregon. Happy New Year, everyone. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous are, number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you very much, Lucy M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted using star 1, please. Today we resume our study in the Big Book. We're in the chapter Into Action. We are on page 80. We'll be reading and commenting on the first paragraph. And I will now ask Penny L.C. to please begin reading.
Thank you, Elaine. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington, and this is the Big Book. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. If we have obtained permission, we have consulted with others, asked God to help, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. And so in reflecting on this this passage, I know that I looked at the the paragraph before, and I've determined that I am ready and willing to go to any length. And so what does that mean? So for me, it means moving forward, but I know myself well enough to know that I used to be the person that if I got this idea, boy, I would just go full speed ahead. So what I also then need to do is to remember that I need to be sure to pause, to restrain from that impulsive behavior tendencies that I used to operate under. And it's imperative that I ensure that I'm connected to my higher power and the guidance that my higher power provides to me. I ensure also that my actions will not do harm to anyone else. Before I proceed, even asking for that other person's permission, that they are okay with what I'm going to be going ahead to speaking with this person about. Then I tap into the wealth of experience from my sponsor and from other recovered fellows. Because this is new territory, and there are many people that have walked this path, and it's only prudent that I get some direction and advice and guidance that I believe God will use them to help guide me as well. Then again, I'm asking God for direction. I make sure I'm not going at this on my own will, but God's will. I move forward, and my objective is to remove all blockages between God and I. And this is the next step. And I must not shrink. I think that's really interesting that that phrase was used again, as it was in the prayer on the page prior. We must not shrink at anything. You know, the author is telling us this is work that I need to do, that this is really important if I'm going to have that freedom and be able to make the amends so that I can become closer to my higher power. And so more direction, more guidance for me that is given in these lines, and more gratitude for having all of that support. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny. A beautiful start. We're a tough topic, really. So who else would like to comment on this, the first paragraph on page 80?
Eileen B.
Eileen B.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O.
Sarit L.
Sarit L.
Janet E.
Janet E.
Barbara E.
Barbara E.
Roz G.
And Roz G. Perfect lineup. So calmly done. Thank you, thank you, thank you. What a great way to start the year. Here's our lineup. Eileen B., Kathleen O., Dorit L., Janet E., Barbara E., and Roz G. Thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope on this important paragraph. Eileen B., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Kathleen O.
Good morning. I'm Irene B., an abstinent bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Happy New Year to all, and thank you to everyone in this meeting who makes this meeting so amazing and such a beautiful experience. I love, of course, I love hearing what I hear because you guys are teaching me. I say that a lot. And I think I had a misconception of what this step was all about. For some reason, I was under the impression that this step was about making me feel better. And even though I have said that, I mean, I have heard, not said, people say that this is not about manipulating people into reconciliation or bringing them into our lives, in the back of my mind, I thought that that's what this step was meant to do. You know, I'm going to make my amends, and you're going to forgive me, and we're going to walk together holding hands happily into the sunset, frolicking into life together. And that's not how life works. And when things didn't go that way, I was very confused because why aren't these things happening? So I am grateful to hear over and over and over again that this step is not about making me feel better or reconciling relationships, but it's about removing a blockage from God. It's about it's not about me, or it is about me in the sense that it's about my connection with God. Because that's what's going to bring me healing. It's not about my feelings. It's not about what I'm going to get out of it. It's about reconciling with God, removing all blockages so that the road is clear, the connection is clear, there are no blockages to allow the full force of God's mighty power to flow through me, to enable me to fight this disease that is so powerful. So thanks be to God that we have this program to help us remove the blockages that remove us from what's going to heal us. And this program is all about, the only thing that heals us is God and our connection with God. All these things that we do is for no reason other than to connect with God, because He is the only one who can heal us. We cannot heal ourselves. Others cannot heal ourselves. He is the only one who can heal us. And as soon as I understand that, I am going to be that much closer to my recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Irene B. Sorry I called you Eileen, but thank you very much for your grace. And Kathleen, no, you are up next, and you'll be followed by Sarit L.
Good morning, Elaine. Happy New Year. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. Oh, happy 2020, everybody. So making amends is about going to any lengths, because our goal in completing this sometimes very difficult step is to find a spiritual experience. And I know once I found that my life kind of became that no matter what happens in life, I always feel safe and protected. And, you know, the line, if we have obtained permission, have consulted with others, ask God to help in the drastic, and the drastic step is indicated, we must not shrink. And like Penny L.C. mentioned, this is the second time we're told not to shrink. You know, we must not shrink at anything is what we were told before. And shrinking is not backing away due to fear. And for me, there was certainly a lot of fear with difficult amends. So when it comes to things like affairs, stealing, criminal offenses, these are all difficult amends, but we're told we must make these amends or we're going to continue to drink, or in our case, we're going to continue to eat, binge, use food for all our emotions, everything that happens in life, and we all know that got us nowhere. So, and amends are not about just being truly sorry for harms, but it's about changing our behavior. You know, we don't make amends for an affair only to have another affair or repeat that behavior. So I was instructed when making difficult amends to not be in a hurry, because it's worse having to make amends for a poor amends. And, you know, we're guided by our higher power, our sponsor, and others who have walked this path before us. So it's really important we do these steps in order and we just wait. The time's going to come. Sometimes we might think it's sooner, but if we don't pass, you know, we've got to like be guided or it just doesn't turn out well. And so when other people were involved, I had to make sure I wasn't implicating them. And this did happen once when I made an amends to a previous employer and another employee was involved. And she was really nervous about making, you know, me making this amends, because I did tell her I was going to do it. And she asked me not to do it. But I assured her that I wasn't going to bring her name in any way or form. There was going to be no way that she was going to be brought into it. So it all worked out okay. So it is important to consult others. I always pass things past my sponsor and trusted fellows. And, you know, and I always take it to God. So most importantly, I need to remember to place the outcome of my amends in God's hands. And when things do turn out, when I do these amends, they've always turned out well. I'm happy to say I've never had a poor outcome or regretted making an amends. And there's so much freedom, and it seems the most difficult amends usually bring the most freedom. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kathleen O. Sarit L., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Janet E.
Hi, it's Sarit L., recovered in Montreal. Thank you for your service, and Happy New Year's to all. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, so I see this sentence, and I remember that I use this sentence to get out of making my amends, because it would implicate other people, and I don't want to harm other people. So I would not make this amends. And I remember bringing it to the attention of my sponsor, and I did outreach on it. I didn't want to implicate my husband if I would be open to my job or my boss and tell him what I'd done, and it would harm him. And I used that as an excuse. And when I really followed the directions here, have consulted with others and asked God to help, I knew in my heart what the answer was. And someone said it on the lines, when you can go to sleep comfortably, then you know you're clear. For me, my heart is my compass. And I'm able to feel that intuitive thought that's coming to me from God that tells me if I owe an amends, if I truly owe an amends, and if I'm trying to get away from it. And I did. I went to any lengths, to my bosses and the places that I worked at, that I took food from, and I went to them. And I also, from all the situations that I had to pay back money or had to be open and upfront with, I did not receive any negative feedback or any negative responses. And so I do believe that that was just a hug from God and a message that was the right thing to do. That was one thing I wanted to say. I also wanted to mention about having consulted with others, because many times my obsession from food, once I'm clean and abstinent and having worked the steps, it can also go to the other extreme, and I can take that extreme and obsess about the tools, you know, calling other people, reaching out to other people, making other people my higher power. And truly, truly, the answers are within me. And so I can go and I can make phone call after phone call after phone call and get so much guidance. And then I'm in a mess because I've sought the advice of 10 people and I've got 10 different pieces of advice, which leaves me in a muddle of trouble because I don't know where to go and what to do from here. And so ultimately it's between me and my sponsor and my higher power, you know, who guides me and sends me the right directive and the next right action. And that, I just have to remember that consulting with other people is not, with other people is not always the right answer. And I don't have to keep on doing that compulsive behavior. That's not the right action for me. And ultimately it's asking God to help and praying to God to help me with the assumption that God will answer me. It may not be a loud answer. Sometimes I wonder if like, God, are you there? But when he answers me, it's in his time. And I do end up getting the message. Yeah, I'll pass with that. I just want to say thank you so much for your service and happy recovery to all out there.
Thank you very much, Sarit L. Janet E., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Barbara E.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Hi, everyone. I'm Janet E. I'm recovered in Ecuador. And happy New Year. It's the first day, but it's just another day for me to wake up and admit to God that I'm powerless and ask for God to direct my thinking and my actions and take the same actions that I take any other day. And I'm thinking about this paragraph, and it reminds me of an amends that I did that did not go well. And it didn't go well because I did it on my own. I didn't have guidance of a sponsor at the time. I didn't run it by anybody. I just wanted to get it done so I could check it off my list so I would feel better. And as I've already heard shared, this is not the point. The point is to clear space for God to get bigger and take responsibility for my life and actions and go to somebody sincerely and honestly and let them know that I regret the actions that I took that harmed them and then list those harms very specifically. So I needed to be clear about what the harms were. And in the case of this amends, it was an employee that I did not treat well. I did not treat her the way I should have. And ended up actually firing her, which inflamed her hatred of me. But in the amends, she did not really want to hear it. And yet I proceeded to dump out this big amends in a text. And it was like gasoline on a fire. It just inflamed her hatred of me. And then she asked me to help her get a job and do things that I simply could not do or was not able to do. So it went really wrong. And for years, the past 10 years, I've had to really pray for her. And so what did I learn from that? I would have written that amends out. I would have had a sponsor guide me with it. But not only that, I really would have sat quietly with higher power, which is what I'm doing now in my most recent step work. My sponsor hasn't given me the answers. This is, you know, has encouraged me to sit quietly with higher power. What do you think higher power would have you do about that? And if it's a specific kind of amends now that I want to get some input from others on, I can do that. But I need to really hone my relationship with higher power and sit still and listen. So I've also had many amends that have gone so beautifully. I was prepared. I was centered. I had it written out. I went to them and directly gave the amends. And I've had many experiences where relationships have been restored, or where the person received that amends with a really open heart. So
gentle
good advice. Thank you. And it's important to take it because I've had experiences in both camps. So wish everybody a beautiful day, and I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you very, very much. We have Barbara E. up next. And after Barbara, we'll have Roz G. And then we'll take another lineup for people to comment on this, the first paragraph on page 80, before taking drastic action. Barbara E., you are up next. Star one to unmute, Barbara.
I thought I was unmuted. I had a lovely conversation with myself. I was brilliant, I have to tell you that. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Joyous, happy, healthy, abstinent, mostly character defect free new decade. I'm going to take a step back to page 76 where it says drastic self-appraisal, not moderate one, but drastic. And then page 77, take the bit in our teeth. I had to do that. And it shouldn't matter if someone throw us out of the office because we've made our demonstration. We've done our part. It's water over the dam. But it's important to remind myself that I had to go to any length to get this spiritual experience that I so wished for and yet hadn't yet received. I wanted all of the promises to come true, but they had eluded me up to this point. But I had other people to consider. I couldn't just go to people and make my amends, especially if they involved money, without consulting my husband. That was only fair. And my sponsor, I always used my sponsor as my guide and even made phone calls to other people for their opinion. But ultimately, I had to ask my God what I needed to do. And some of my amends went beautifully and some did not go so well. But as I said before, it really, really wasn't up to me. Some of my amends have to be in the form of a living amends because I know I will be impatient again with my husband and our son who lives with us. I know I will be opinionated again with my husband and my son who lives with us. But I promised them, and I looked them in the eye, and I said it sincerely, that I will do my best to refrain from doing that. There are some of my character defects that I did not want to get rid of, but I knew I had to eventually, and I prayed to God, always to the God that I didn't understand and had no real knowledge of, but I knew wasn't me, because I had failed so many times before, gained and lost hundreds of pounds so many times before. I needed something spiritual in my life, and I did find it in OA, and I give thanks every day for you, my fellows, that we're all trudging this broad highway together. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you very much, Barbara E. And again, Roz G is up next, and then we'll take some more people to comment on the first paragraph on page one of, paragraph one on page 80. Please go ahead, Roz.
Good morning, Elaine. This is Roz G, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And this morning, I weighed myself, and I am down, and I've never been down after holidays, so yay for that. But that's because of this work. And what I am is I am an impulsive, not only am I a recovered, but I'm a, not only am I a compulsive overeater, I'm an impulsive eater. And I'm impulsive with everything that I do, unless I have the restraining, the spiritual restraining of a higher power that I get in touch with every day. And as other people have said, I want to do things so that I feel better. I don't care if it hurts you. I need to get out of this scrape so that I can feel better. And before taking drastic action, before doing something extreme, before doing something radical that will bring up a memory that really sucks, that somebody didn't really need to remember, I need to talk to somebody that is unemotionally involved. And who is that? A sponsor. Or it could be another person on my God squad who has the same experience. Those are the people that I need to talk to so that I can be brought to a place of balance. Because when I make decisions and I take actions on emotion, it never turns out well. When I make decisions and I take actions from a place where I have asked for help, code word, prayed, as we've learned in this book, asking is code for prayer. So after I've prayed, after I've asked God for help, after I've talked to people who are unemotionally involved, then I know it's time to do the right thing. And sometimes the right thing is simply acting those things out in a different manner, change, you know, not treating my sister the mean way that I treated her for so many years, because I've apologized to her too many times. That would be a load of BS if I told her I was sorry again. No, it's just for me to change through my actions. And I think I'll be rambling on from there. So Happy New Year. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Elaine.
Happy New Year to you too, Roz G. All righty. We got time for about five people to share. Who'd like to
Christina J.
Christina
Joe
J.
M.
Joe. Oops, hang on
Reggio.
Just a second here. Christina J. I heard a Joe. I heard a Reggie. I heard a Chad,
Kelly.
And I heard a Kelly. And
this
I
is
think
Reggie.
That's
this
about
great.
It. I'm sorry,
yeah.
I didn't get that last name. But
Reggie, okay. I don't know if you heard me or not.
I did. I got Christine, no last name. I got a Joe, I think it's M. I got a Reggie O, and I got a Charles H, and I got a Kelly with no last initial here. So let's go with that and see how we do, okay? So Christine, you are up first. You'll be followed by Joe M. And please go ahead, Christine.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your service this morning. My name is Christina J. from the state of Washington. Okay, so we got steps here in this book. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Do we take step one and then jump? See if we can jump up to the 12th step. Do we take step one and see if we can jump up to the 9th step? No, we take it one at a time. So if you're new on the line and you're just starting and you're wondering what all this 9th step stuff is about, I certainly was, but I just couldn't go there. I was horrified to hear that I had to possibly do things like this So I just went into denial, you know, in my mind. Like, I shoved all that down, and I just stuck with step one. Sometimes this shoving it down and not paying attention to it can be of assistance, especially when we're thinking about step four and step nine. I went to a meeting once in my early recovery, and there was a woman in there who left the meeting and never came back because we were talking about step four, and she said, oh, my God, I have to do that. I have to tell people certain things about myself that I did. She was absolutely horrified. So, again, if you're new, take, like I heard on the earlier meeting today, take these stories and see that they're acts of courage and that these people have gone through from one, taking one step at a time, diving in, understanding, getting totally saturated with the truth and the courage and the recovery in each chapter, and just keep focused on that because you need to sink that down into your cells. Yes, it is drastic. These proposals, these things we do are drastic, but they're healing. And when you get to this point, this particular paragraph, where you're working with your sponsor and consulting with others on each one of the amends you might have to make, you've got the courage of all these people on the line and the courage of God that has grown in your heart since you started. And by doing this, you know, we're getting a lot of instruction on this step nine here because, you know, they knew when they wrote the book that we were going to need it. We were going to need to hear stories of recovery through this step so we wouldn't shrink at anything. Yes, it's scary. Some are scarier than others, but the healing, the humbling healing that comes from the soul is amazing. Cleaning this house down, all this stuff that we used to eat over deep down within us, it'll be revealed slowly. You won't remember everything at once, but as you go along, and even as I listen to people on the line this morning sharing their stories about this paragraph and what they've done and the certain types of amends they've made in this part, I'm thinking of a couple things that I actually forgot about and I need to do. I want to because I don't want to go to my grave and meet my maker and have these things still there. I want to be free, totally free in this lifetime so that I can be of service to others fully, with a clean conscience and a clean heart, and be able to bring that beautiful strength and courage to those I sponsor. So I want to say one more thing and then I'll finish. Normally at this time of the year, I'd be looking at some drastic diets that I was going to have to take on because, by gosh, I was going to do it. And I'd investigated those diets and I'd ask everybody about them and I was going to jump in. And of course, as some people have said, by February, all those diets have died. So you don't have to do a diet today. Take step one, get a sponsor, dive into this stuff, and you'll find wonderful healing. All right. Thank you for letting me share. Happy New Year. I pass.
Thank you, too, Christina J., and thanks for your mindfulness of newcomers. Very helpful. Joe M., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Reggie O. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Before taking drastic action, which might implicate other people, we secure their consent. When I was doing my amends, one of the amends that I was facing had to do with something I had done when I was a babysitter as a teenager. And in discussing this with my sponsor, we talked about it a lot. And I went all the way to, you know, finding this family again and, you know, feeling fairly confident that I actually could find them and track them down and contact them to do this amend. And my sponsor said, you know, because this was a child, you know, the mother might feel implicated. I don't know if he used the word implicated, but in essence, the mother might feel implicated in having hired you. So I'm not sure that you should contact this family. And he said, I want you to call three other mothers in the program and ask them about this. And so I did that. I called three mothers, and I didn't have an agenda. I just said, here's the situation. Here's the amend that I'm looking at doing. What do you think? And all three of those mothers said, do not contact the family. They said, you know, if I were the mother in this situation, I would just feel bad, and there was nothing I could do about it. So I circled back to my sponsor. We continued talking about this. And we worked out an alternative amend that I could make, not a direct amend to the family, not to the child who was now grown or to the mother, but an alternative amend. And the alternative amend that we worked out was very humbling for me to do, and it had the intended impact, because humility is an intended impact of an amend. And so it was extremely important that I discuss every single amend with my sponsor before I went out and did it, because the whole point of the amend is to make a repair, not to do further damage. So that was extremely important for me. So thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Joe M. And Reggio, you're up next. You'll be followed by Charles H.
Thank you, Elaine, so much, and everybody on the line this morning. And it's so great to be starting 2020 with all of you. My name is Reggie O, and I'm gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area. You know, I've never needed the consent. I've never been in a position with an amends where I needed the consent of someone else before making an amends. But, you know, I'm in a situation right now where that comes into play, and I'm writing a memoir. And some of the, and you know, of course, I hope it gets published, but that's in God's hands. But the, you know, I have to be prepared for anything. And there are instances that seem that are so relevant to some of the story that I'm writing, but they involve other people. And in some cases, there would be an instance where, you know, I know the right thing would be to talk with, you know, a couple of family members and get their permission about certain things. And then the other one is there are some instances of pieces where it would do harm. Everyone that's involved I've done an amends with at some point in my life. But this is different in the way that, and I didn't make harm. There were parts of the amends I didn't do because it would have harmed the other person. And now I'm looking at that again. So, and I'm just, you know, I'm really, I will do a lot of consulting and praying as I have been doing about it. But, you know, I know it's just so the right thing, you know. And it reminds me of, you know, steps 2 and 3, especially 2, you know, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. And, you know, where are the places where I'm agnostic, you know, to get to this place, you know, where I can really turn this over to God. I need to have a God that I trust is big enough to handle everything in my life, you know, and then to have a sponsor, to have people to talk to have listened to this ninth step, people sharing so honestly and from the heart for the past few days, it's amazing. I feel so fortunate to be in this program with all of you on this path that we're doing together. That, you know, I'm not alone, and where I can't get to the truth of my God, you know, it comes through you, the ideas. It's just quite amazing how it works. And I did make a big amends that was so amazing. It took a lot. It was over 30 years to do, and it took, it was about one aspect of an entire profession of mine. I was so embarrassed. I couldn't imagine making the amends, and I did it the first time through the steps and vision. And I learned about God in that amends, because I couldn't get my sponsor. I had 30-second opportunity to contact this very, you know, kind of important person that's very hard to get. And I knew if I didn't make the call in those 30 seconds, I might never, you know, who knows when I would talk to her. I got down on my knees. God helped me. I didn't have a script because it was unprepared. And I had a spiritual experience during that amends.
Gentle reminder.
Freedom that I hadn't had for 30 years. So this is it's amazing work we do here, and I'm grateful for it and all of you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much, Reggie O. And Charles H., you are up next, followed by Kelly.
Thank you kindly for your service, and happy holidays to everybody. Happy Wednesday. I mean, we do what we do every single day. I want to drill down on a paragraph where it says before taking drastic. I noticed the word drastic a couple of times in here. I noticed the word acts, which is prayer, is definitely in there. I noticed a condition if we have obtained permission. Sometimes we get overzealous and go ahead and do things prior to. You know, I like to go to the big book as reference. You know, some people, you know, myself included, used to be so overzealous. I'm like, you know what? I got the answer. Like I'm Google or something. You know, the book has the answer. It's an open book text. You want to be a historian? Study the text. You know, it says before. You know, I let a lot of people off the hook by, you know, they disrespect me. I'll give you an example. They disrespect me in public, and then they want to make the amends privately. I let them off the hook because, you know, I'm asking God for permission. I need to ask God for permission. And I need to be careful because, you know, works without faith is dead. You know, I could do the work and I could do the action and I don't believe in it and it ain't going to work. And I could, you know, I love that question that young lady asked. She wanted to jump from 4 to 9 because the situation wouldn't present itself. But, you know, in God, left in God's hands, right, the situation will present itself. So if it's a condition, I need to get permission before I start, even if no one else is involved, I need to get permission. And, you know, we got a lot of opportunities with people coming into the program, and we got to be gentle and we got to be loving and compassionate because they're not going to understand that they can't do it by themselves. They're not going to understand the allergy of the body and the mental obsession. Oh, it's here every single day. Oh, the rent is due every single day. And if I don't pay that rent, I'll be spiritually evicted. So there's prayers in here, there's conditions in here, there's warnings, there's questions, and this book has all the answers. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Charles H. And our final share today will be with Kelly. If you could give us the first initial of your last name, that'd be so great.
Hey, it's Kelly S. from Oklahoma, recovered compulsive overeater. First of all, because I'll forget, I just wanted to thank whoever it was on the line that shared that we don't do this to feel better, that we are doing this to open a space for our higher power to come in. I just thought that was so beautiful. And that's what I have to remember why I'm doing this work. Because I, as an addict, I always want to feel better, right? So in these steps, I also love that Christina shared about the newcomer, because I think that I came in these rooms and the eighth and ninth step were the ones I was really balking, not 4 and 5. I've had experiences making amends without consulting people, and it is not the way to go. I can tell you that. You can definitely harm others. But I also wanted to share with you guys that, you know, I've been in these rooms for decades, and I was in such denial for so many years. I was so blocked that my disease, that this compulsive eating, bulimia, binging, purging, whatever, could affect my family. I mean, yeah, maybe I didn't participate as much, whatever, but I never ever saw what it did to the dis-ease. That's what I like to call it, the dis-ease, and how that affected my family. And when I made these direct amends, it was painful, but not in an abusive way, but more of an awareness and opening up to seeing, wow, you know, when I made amends to my ex-husband and an ex-partner I had, and then my adult children and my wife now, I just think when I listen to them, and they did it in a loving way, but to hear the pain that I caused them, yes, it hurt, but again, it was just an awareness and an ability for me to go to my higher power now to work on these defects and behaviors. And I grew up in an abusive home. I know a lot of us did, and my dad constantly said he was sorry. I remember as a little girl thinking, he always says sorry, but he never changes. And so, you know, I'm so grateful today that I don't have to just say sorry all the time and never change. And now I can see, I can't change something I can't see. You know, I can't see something I can't see. I don't know what I don't know. And my dimmer switch, as we hear, is getting clicked a little brighter. And when I'm open and receptive to hearing how my behavior is affecting other people, that's when change begins. And then I have to go to my God. That's where it really, really happens, right? So I'm just grateful for this process, and I got more, and I continue to get more healing from these amends process, because I have to get out of self, that's what's blocking me, and get into humility, which gets me closer to God. So, yeah, it is scary, but we can't balk. If you want true freedom, this is where it really lies. So I no longer have to go to food for that ease and comfort. I can start going to my God, and with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kelly S. and everybody that shared. Boy, we're starting the year off facing the real stuff with real victory. Thank you. Now we're going to transition the meeting by reading from the big book on page 164. So will Dawn B. please read a vision for you?
Good morning. This is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.